It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Tonight through New Year's Eve, it'll be 8 shows total from this talented percussionist, singer, author, actress. She comes from a strong musical background. Her father is legendary percussionist Pete Escovedo, who had 5 musical brothers, Coke, Phil, Alejandro, Javier, and Mario. And Tito Puente is her godfather. She's worked with George Duke, Marvin Gaye, Lionel Richie, Herbie Hancock, Prince, and many others. It's a treat to welcome the one and only Sheila E. Hey, Sheila, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And with such a wide-ranging resume like yours, explain what's going to be happening at these shows in terms of what we'll hear and what we'll be seeing on stage.
Well, good question, but the majority of my band will be here. We're going to play old and new songs. And not only that, the surprise is I'm bringing my dad with me, so he's going to perform with us as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no one knows that, so this is the first me ever talking about it. Yeah, and we're excited about it.
I love how you say that. I'm bringing my dad with me. That's just, that kind of gives a real surprise. What a treat for people there. And so in addition to you and your father, how many other pieces?
It'll be bass, drums, guitar, piano, one singer, one horn player, myself, and my dad.
I wonder how you could have even avoided a music career if you tried with the world around you.
I didn't know I was going to be a musician professionally until the age of 15. The first goal was to be the first girl astronaut on the moon. The second was to win a gold medal in the Olympics, and that's all I cared about. I didn't care about music. I loved music. But I was really an athlete. My mom is an athlete, so it's like I took after her, and I was kind of like tomboyish. I wanted to play basketball, football, but I ran track. I was a track star, basically, in elementary, junior high, and a little bit of high school. So I was training to be in the Olympics. I was breaking records in junior high school that hadn't been broken in 20 years, and it's like I want to go to the Olympics, and that was my goal. But then it didn't happen based on this one show I performed with my dad at 15, and he was signed to CBS at the time with Clive Davis, and they were opening for the Temptations and Stevie Wonder and a bunch of people, and I said I wanted to play. He didn't want me to play. His percussionist got sick. I played that show. Literally, that gig just changed my life, my world, everything that I knew, and 2 weeks later, I started out on tour with him and never looked back.
What city was that first gig in?
San Francisco at the Moscone Center.
Draw the link and explain Tito Puente. How is he your godfather?
Yeah, him and my dad, I think, met when they were in their teens, so they'd known each other for a very long time, and my dad looked up to him as a timbali player and an artist and a songwriter, and I didn't know, but the times where I just wanted to play and sit in with other bands, it was a big deal because a lot of the other musicians would not want me to play. They wouldn't let me sit in, and Tito was like, don't worry about it. You don't listen to them. You come and play with me. And my dad and I would sit in with Tito, and everyone's like, well, why is this girl coming to sit in? And they're the West Coast artists and musicians, so they play differently than the New York, the East Coast. And so we got a lot of flack for the style that we played, which is Latin jazz, a little more loose. But Tito just said, you guys are family. Don't listen to them. You come with me. And he just took us under his wing.
Such an inspiring story and really a nice tribute to him, actually. So Lionel Richie, Herbie Hancock, Diana Ross, George Duke, just some of the names associated with you. Give us a little idea of when you had the opportunity to work with these monsters.
George was early 70s, and Lionel didn't start till 83, and Marvin Gaye and Herbie Hancock was before Lionel, so it was like 81. I think Herbie was right after George, and then it was Lionel.
Had George already played with Zappa?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Did you ever get to meet Frank?
Yeah.
Any cool stories?
No, other than he was amazingly crazy and funny and out of this world, and I loved him. He was amazing. That was the great thing about playing with George was he didn't just play funk music. It was funk, R&B, gospel, fusion, jazz, Brazilian music. It was a little bit of everything, different time signatures because of him and Billy Cobham playing together. So I learned a lot. He really opened my eyes and my ears to different music.
That's a great explanation, what you just said. All the diversity that he touched on with music would be a great way to learn as you're coming up. You mentioned his name. And again, we're talking with Sheila E., who's got this New Year's run at the Blue Note. Very special first engagement for her. She's bringing her dad, too, in this surprise information that she's just dropped. So you mentioned Marvin Gaye. When did you first meet him and then get the chance to actually start to work with him?
I met him the same time I was going to work with him. A friend of ours was road managing for him. He said, I got a gig for you, and he wanted me to go audition for Marvin. I really never auditioned. I just showed up at rehearsal, and we started playing. I met him at rehearsal. It was a dream come true because listening to artists that you grew up with, and all of a sudden you're like in the same room with them, you're freaking out going, what the heck just happened, you know? I was overwhelmed by just being in his presence. He was an amazing man, gentle man.
What's either a touching story or a story about one of the great lessons you learned along the way?
Wow, with Marvin, amazing. Well, he knew how to work the audience, you know. I was a part of his band, but really it was kind of like an orchestra. It was a 24-piece orchestra, like, you know, 5-6 horn players, 4 singers, 4 percussion, with 3 percussion players, me, my brother, and my cousin, and
wow,
then a percussion player who played marimbas and vibes and stuff, and then bass, drums, guitar, piano. So it was a large group of people, and I just noticed it's like he really didn't need us. He could sit there on the piano and perform and play and sing to the audience, and they would just go crazy, you know. It was who he was as a person, as a personality, and his songwriting and what it meant and the songs that he wrote. It was like what I learned with Lionel. A good song is the melody and the lyrics, what you're saying and the melody, and he didn't need an entire band to convey his message. It was just him.
I know what you mean. Plus a guy like that, though, whose voice, I mean, you just hang on every note that comes out of his mouth when he's singing.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so long before you did what would be his final tour, you'd met the artist that you might be best known for collaborating with and having on your resume, Prince. Do you still remember that first time you met him? I think it was like in 78 or something?
Yeah, 77, 78. Well, I first saw him at an Al Jarreau concert in Berkeley at the Greek Theater, and I don't know if that was before and after. I can't remember, but I finally got to see him perform, and he was performing in San Francisco when I finally met him, and I went backstage to say hello. And that was his first performance right before his record was coming out. That was when I went and said hello and introduced myself, and that was the beginning of a long lifetime friendship and a lot of memories, because we traded numbers, and next thing you know, we're just hanging out every day. He would come and fly to the Bay Area, and I show him around Oakland, San Francisco, Berkeley, all the cool places that I grew up in musically, and introducing him to my family and Latin jazz music, which he had never really heard of and was amazed by and loved the fact that I got to play with my family. You know, we got to play with each other, which is something that he's or had always wanted with him and his dad. But he loved the Bay Area, and that's why he chose to do his record in the Bay Area, because he wanted to be in the same studio as Sly Stone and Carlos Santana, and he looked up to them, and so that was a big deal for him to be in the city and be able to record.
And you kept that relationship because long after, I guess you would say, leaving Prince's organization in the late 80s, you just continued to work with him off and on all the way through the rest of his life.
Yeah.
As we wrap it up, give a little plug to the Elevate Hope Foundation.
Yeah, Elevate Hope, and now we've actually changed the name to Elevate Oakland, because we're also helping the Bay Area. What we noticed that people are asking us is to elevate their cities. We founded this many years ago, and we started with music and arts and therapy to help young kids in foster care, with helping with them to break down the barrier of communication, and then being able to create had helped them to deal with situations with life and being abused and things like that. So we started there, and then we saw the need for, as far as education, music and arts in the schools, because they were taking it out of the schools.
Right.
So now we're bringing those programs back into the schools, and that's what we're doing, and it's been very successful.
Proud of you. It's a great thing to do, and an important thing as well. It's Sheila E. She's going to be at the Blue Note doing a very special New Year's run, and she is bringing her esteemed father, Pete Escovedo, as a surprise guest. No more. It's not a surprise anymore, Sheila. It was a surprise. And I hope you had fun talking today. I'm looking forward to seeing you, and maybe we can do another interview when you're in town, like a little follow-up thing.
That would be awesome. Thank you so much, and hopefully you get to come to the show and experience a little bit of Sheila E.